Good morning. Welcome to everyone online today. I'm sorry not to be able to meet with you in person, but I do look forward to this time of learning together. I hope you're all having a good Mother's Day, and those of you who have got mothers that they can contact have been able to contact them today. It's horrible not being able to see each other, isn't it? But we can still pray and we can still join together in some way. Some time ago we looked at the question, what is church? We realised that church could be described as a gathering of the family of God, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And we found, as we've known all along, that the church is not about a building. Church is not about being in some special place. We are the church. What we need to remember now is that church is not contained within four walls. So let's pray together as we seek to hear God's voice today. Lord, thank you that you've called us your children, wherever we are. Thank you that your body is not dependent upon a building. Thank you that we can be together in spirit, even when keeping social distance. May we learn over the coming weeks a new way of being church, that we may burst forth from the confines of brick and mortar to truly be your people in community. Speak to us now, we pray, as we hunger and thirst for you. Amen. What I would have done now, if you'd been here, is to play a clip from YouTube, which would have been the Boney M song by the Rivers of Babylon. If you'd like to look it up, feel free to pause my talking and go and listen to it yourself. But it comes from Psalm 137. And Psalm 137 begins, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." You know, I think we have a slight taste of that today, as the Israelites lamented their absence from Jerusalem and from the temple. It is just a taste. Their exile in captivity in a strange land is very different from an isolation in our own homes. And yet there's something of that feeling for us, that feeling that we aren't where we should be, that longing to be together and in God's house. But that time of exile for the Jews was a real time of growth. It was a real time of working out their national identity, a time of rethinking their practice. How can they be God's people when they can't fulfill the rituals? How can they meet with God when they haven't got the temple? How can they preserve that relationship, maintain the segregation they felt was necessary from the people around them when they were scattered in the world? These are all questions we face. Who are we when the structures around which we've built our Christian lives crumble? How can we be the gathered children of God without gathering? How can we preserve our community when we're scattered and isolated in our own homes? We do have this advantage. The Jews relied on a physical building for their worship, but we know that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are his temple. Our own personal relationship with God isn't affected by the loss of our weekly meeting. In fact, it may be improved if we're willing to put in the effort. Because what we've lost now is the set time and place that creates a structure for worship. And if we're not careful without the structure and routine, it's easy to slip into, I'll do it later, and never do it. So let me encourage you, if at all possible, to engage with what we're doing at the time we're doing it. Go online, listen to the sermon, contact me with your comments and questions. If we manage to set up Bible studies, do them when they're scheduled. Talk to each other, discuss the questions. If we book a prayer meeting, set the time aside to pray. We can grow personally in our discipleship in this time. We can learn and worship and lean on God just as much now as we ever did before, if not more. But what we don't have is a focus for community. And this is where we need to work things out. It's all very well growing as individuals, but what about our relationships with each other? How do we share God's love with one another in isolation? How can we create a structure of practical worship without meeting? In their exile, the Jews began to build synagogues where they could meet without the temple. They created new spaces to practice their faith. What new spaces can we create? While we don't meet physically, are there other places we can meet? Let's look further at the practices of the Jews. The books of Jeremiah and Lamentations, as well as parts of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, Daniel, Ezekiel, and other books were written in this time. They reminded the Jews of the reasons for their exile, their disobedience and idolatry, and called them back to the true worship of God. They also reminded them of the faithfulness and hope of God, and the promise that he would one day return them to their homeland. Now, I don't pretend to assume that the coronavirus is God's punishment on a disobedient people, although we do know that sickness is a problem caused by a world of sin. But the call to true worship still stands. We must turn to God now more than ever, and we must do it as described in the Bible. The prophet Micah writes long before the exile, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Worship isn't about singing, about getting together and having a good time. It's about caring for others and trusting in God. Surely at this time we have a great opportunity to learn a new way of worship. The way to worship God by phoning a friend. The way to worship God by shopping for a neighbour. The way to worship God by comforting a brother. This is a time when we're called to give to God and to give of ourselves. It may be that you're in the vulnerable group at this time and feel that you're isolated and there's nothing you can do. You know, there's yet to be found a virus that can travel down a telephone line. If you have access to a computer, there are things you can do for the church as well as things you can do for those who don't have access to a computer. Being banned from physical fellowship with each other doesn't ban you from fellowship with God. Pray for each other and allow others to serve you, because this is their act of worship too. So in love and service to one another, we find a new form of worship. But also, as the Jews were called to worship, they were reminded of the hope given them by God. We have a hope that the world does not have, and this is a time to witness to that. We do not live in fear. We face difficulty with courage and strength from the Holy Spirit. While we don't put ourselves in danger, we trust that the danger that comes our way will be dealt with in Jesus' name and according to the will of the Father. We trust in the Apostle Paul's statement in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you love him? Have you been called by him? Then God is working for your good, even if you may not see it. Let's show that to the world. Finally, in this time of captivity, God raised up the elders, scribes and Pharisees as leaders of the Jewish people. No longer was ministry just for the priests and Levites. And perhaps this is an opportunity too for those in the church who haven't been involved to get involved. An opportunity to step up and take on new roles and responsibilities. An opportunity to even out the structures in place in the church, away from a dependence on a few, usually older, leaders, towards a truly common leadership. As leaders, we'll do what we can, but with a scattered group, the whole church will need to take some part of that function on themselves. You have our full support as you seek to explore the way God is calling you to serve him in this time. Let me close today's short sermon with a rather longer reading, and this is from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was also writing to those in exile, and this is his promise from God, which I've asked you to look at this week. Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received double from the Lord's hand, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, when we think that there's no hope, that there's no end to the trouble and suffering of the world, that the exile is unending and we're far from God and from each other, remember this. Remember who God is. Remember what he has done. Remember what he's promised. He will never leave or forsake us. In the darkness we look to God for light. In our sickness we look to him for healing. In our isolation we look to him for community. In our suffering we look to him for hope. Stand firm, my brothers and sisters. Cling to God, help each other. The building may stand empty, but the church is full because we are his people, and we may yet serve and praise him. Let's pray. Lord, with Isaiah we praise you for who you are and what you've done, in creation, in salvation, in us. We praise you because you're faithful to your promises, and you've promised to be with us always. May we lean on you this week. May we seek you and show you in the world. Like a tree growing by the living water, may we stand rooted in you, growing in discipleship and sharing your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If I'd been able to choose a final hymn, it would have been this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. 10,000 reasons. And I'll include those verses and the words in the packs that I send out. If you've got YouTube, please go on there and listen. Thank you. And God bless.